huddle up.
66 Hitch X Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby! Boom!
Hardest hits. And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
It's another London morning. An early one of Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Hi, everybody. Colin Russo here. Kate Chumsland, of course, is always behind the glass at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. It is Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Well, now we've seen the first few weeks of the season. Now it's time to try your first bet on Hard Rock Bet. Last year, you really couldn't legally bet in Florida until week 14, but now for the entire season, you could get involved over on Hard Rock. Each game, you could bet on the touchdown scores, passing yards, other stats, total points, who will win, so much more. Even if you miss kickoff, you could bet it live up until the final whistle over on Hard Rock Bet. You could also bet on college football. A terrific slate of college football games that lived up to the hype. A bunch of overtime games. I think four overtime ranked matchups. You could always get involved on Hard Rock Bet. The MLB playoffs is now in full-fledged with the Guardians taking on the Yankees and the Dodgers taking on the Mets in the championship series is on either side of the AL and the NL. You could bet that. You can get involved in so many different ways over on Hard Rock. Even if you don't want to bet a ton of money, you could try a parlay. Tail a bunch of them together and get more value out of it. In week one, for example, a Florida bettor went 16 for 16, picked the winner of every single game in the slate, turned a $15 bet into $104,000 in winners. And winnings. So many different types of parlays you could try, even if you don't know what to do. All these parlays are available to you on the Discover page. You could figure out what's trendy, where the money is, what's good value. Is there a promotion? That's the stuff that Hard Rock Bet has available. That's the things that they could provide for the new player to get you guys organized and also to make it easier for you to get involved. It's got the sophistication that the experienced player really wants, but the nuances of the app, it makes it so easy for the new and inexperienced player to get involved quickly. That's what they got on Hard Rock Bet. All you got to do to get started is download Hard Rock Bet in the App Store or the Google Play Store or go online to hardrock.bet. Also, a promotion, too. Try out Hard Rock Bet now and get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. First bet, that could be a parlay, it could be a prop, over, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. You either win your first bet or get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. Go try it today. It's Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus or older and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Consider about gambling. Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Well, it's an interesting slate today, a full slate of games. Of course, the aforementioned London game, second week in a row that we will be in London, and the first of 2 weeks over this week and next, where Jacksonville Jaguars will be playing in London. This one against the 3-2 Chicago Bears, who have triumphantly rallied back two straight wins against the Carolina Panthers and the Los Angeles Rams. They sit at 3-2. Jacksonville coming off their first win of the season against the Colts at home last week after an 0-4, a dreadful start for them. But Jacksonville, notoriously good in London. Caleb Williams, of course, a rookie quarterback going overseas for the first time to play a football game. We'll see how they respond on that front. Other notable games, of course, lie in that Buccaneers-Saint game in New Orleans. Saints banged up. Spencer Rattler at quarterback. Short week. Buccaneers, flip side, healthy. Not a lot of games to be played so far. And they had 10, 12 days off coming off a tight loss against the Atlanta Falcons at Thursday Night Football. But I think the game of the week probably lies in Baltimore once again, probably. In Baltimore, Ravens, of course, sitting at 3-2 after a bad start. The Commanders, one of the hottest stories in the NFL, sitting at 4-1. Jaden Daniels, rookie sensation, of course. We'll see how he continues to progress. But this is going to be an early test for him against the Ravens early on. Those are the two main games of the day. That Bengal-Giant game, we'll get into how New York will... Can they turn around their season, maybe on both fronts, whether it's the Giants or the Jets? I think that will be interesting to see whether both of them, one of them, can really turn around their season here. Because the Giants play, I think their record is better than what it is. Their team is better than what their record says. And the Jets, of course, the story of the week has been Robert Saleh out after basically four or five games for the Jets, and all of a sudden, can the Jets turn this around? They change play calling duties, put it out of Nathaniel Hackett's hands, and Robert Saleh is officially out as head coach. So the Jets sitting at 2-3, playing a 3-2 Buffalo Bill team in New York on Monday Night Football. Can they turn it around? Got a whole lot to do. Kate, of course, behind the glass as always. Kate, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Colin. Colin, one thing you forgot to mention, we're live on YouTube right now. Go check us out. You'll actually get to see our faces. And first time for that, first time for everything. Colin, I'm having an amazing day.
Yeah, it's an early one, but we're finally on socials now. So tune in on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, at ESPN West Palm. You can see our pretty faces. Notice that we are not just faces for radio. We're faces for streaming as well. Don't let anybody tell you any different. ABC News came out with an article today about Robert Goodell at the London convention, talking about a slew of things in the NFL. But one thing that was specific that caught my eye was Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, of course, was talking about the possible expansion, of course, in the league to 18 games, which has been, you know, rumored for some time, and talked about how it's probably in the near future to eliminate a preseason game. But he said something that was surprising. He said, is it out of the question for a Super Bowl to be played internationally? And he said, absolutely not. And I guess it's sort of in theme because we are playing a game in London today. And I imagine London would probably be the top of the list of cities that would play host to a Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl is the prized gem of American sports broadcasting. It is the golden ticket. It is overreliable. There's a blueprint on how to make it successful. And now Goodell is saying that internationally could be a play for that. This is just smoke and mirrors, him just trying to build up some buzz for international. I think that's a negative. Why? The Super Bowl is only played in like five host cities to begin with. It's Miami, New Orleans, Los Angeles, Arizona here and there, and maybe Santa Clara here and there. But Dallas, all of a sudden now we're going to go to London to play the Super Bowl? I think this could be problematic.
I think it could be problematic for London, not just the NFL. We talk about all the time how NFL cities, when they host a Super Bowl, their city is ravished afterwards. It almost is a detriment to the local market, the repercussions of the Super Bowl afterwards, with how many people flood the city and how much they tear it up, because it's one of the biggest events, not just in American sports, just in sports in general. You think about an Olympics opening ceremonies, how much those stadiums are absolutely destroyed once they host their games. Talk about the Super Bowl. London itself is a good city to host a massive sporting event like this, but I'm not sure after everyone comes and then leaves, London will be like, okay, what good was that for us? I think this is a prized American tradition, and I think America knows how to handle it best.
Yeah, I agree, but to there's a give and take relationship there. The cities want the Super Bowl because it brings in a lot of money, but you're right. It's almost the influx of cities just straight up aren't prepared. But the Super Bowl is also this big corporate event. A lot of money comes into town. But in terms of the expansion of international play, where is the wall for the NFL? Goodell also said, talking about how the NFL is going to adopt an aggressive international growth plan. Rio de Janeiro was floated as another host city in terms of South America in Brazil. He floated Asian markets. Of course, Madrid and Ireland are the two next on the list, which is sort of the same. You've seen it in Germany. You've seen it in London. But where is the wall with international expansion in the NFL? It's clear that the teams don't love it. They have to travel through all these hoops just to play the game. The timing is just its own other animal. Where do you stop? The Brazil game, I mean, maybe the NFL considers it a success. I don't. They got lucky. It was a good game. They got lucky. Jordan Love did not get seriously hurt at the end of the game. That field was a mess. The teams did not like it. It was too much travel. It doesn't mean the NFL is going to stop. There's too much money to be made. But where is the wall to them? It's a bulletproof league. Internationally, when can you hit the halt and say, all right, the NFL has expanded enough?
I don't even know if they will, but from an American viewing perspective, it's going to fail when a game or a situation fails at the game. I don't think they're going to look ahead enough to realize something wrong is going to happen until something tragic happens at one of those games. Something's going to happen where either no one shows up or a bad game gets a bad reaction from international fans and the NFL is going to say, oops, that was a mistake. I don't think they're going to go ahead and say, this is where they draw the line. They're going to push their market as hard as they can. And until something fails, they're going to absolutely push it all the way. Especially the Asia one blew my mind. You talk about the time difference. That's literally a complete 12-hour flip. You have to change your entire life at that point in order to play on the other side of the world. And even a London game at night is something ridiculous. Colin, they're 5 hours behind us. You could put a night game, let's just say 8:15, primetime American Sunday Night Football. You have to play that at 1:15 a.m. if you're in London. Now, obviously, they wouldn't do that. But how else do you swing a primetime game for American viewership?
Or do you risk the primetime viewership so it's capable to play it in London?
Everyone knows that the biggest game for American television is Sunday Night Football, if not the Sunday afternoon
game. That Sunday afternoon game is, yeah, that's their biggest slot.
That's their biggest one, right? So think about that. 4:25, you would have to start that game in London at 9:25. Players aren't going to want to do that. We already saw how hard it was for them to just play a delayed game last Sunday Night Football at Pittsburgh when Dallas and the Steelers went to 1:15 in the morning. They're not going to want to willingly go out at 9:25 to start a football game. It's not going to happen. I think the players themselves and the NFLPA Players Association might have something to say about that if the league is going to push them that hard for international games.
Yeah, the NFL, Roger Goodell also said that if and when, it's really a when, the NFL does expand to an 18-game regular season, they would slash another preseason game, which has proved to be problematic because it's taken these teams a month to really grab their to grab their reins because they don't practice enough before the season starts. But, you know, more money to be made. He mentioned that if there's an 18-2 structure to preseason games, that is, he sees that 16 of those games would be in international, 16 games total throughout the year would be in international markets. There was only, I think, 5 this year. I it was the Sao Paulo game, 3 in London, and then of course Munich at the end towards the November. So that's only 5 games. You're talking about tripling that just for one season. That's a lot of travel. That's a lot of accommodation too, because you'd of course expand to 2 buys if you were to do an 18-game regular season, and the season would start around Labor Day and end around President's Day in February. All of a sudden, it's a whole lot of more travel logistics. Some of these teams like the bye after. Some of them don't. Is it too much? But to that point, NFL has shown that it's bulletproof. They have the shield. They don't need to worry about it. Ultimately, I think that I think it's a bullet train that it could be heading towards. You're right. They need to hit a wall in order for them to actually notice. And I don't know if they ever will. It might have a bad game here or there, or a bad look, bad optics here. Nothing that's that bad that would make them change their mind or move backward. That's the NFL. Now, international game is just smoke and mirrors for the Super Bowl, probably because the NFL cities bid for it, and the NFL, and I think they like to reward cities that have NFL franchises. But to that point, there's money all over the world, and there's money that's interested in the NFL because it's a cash cow. Is somebody going to pay the money, a European city, to get involved in the Super Bowl?
Do you think, Colin, that the NFL looked at what happened to Copa America in the States and how everyone flocked to those soccer games, and now they want to try to be the next international massive soccer market. Are they challenging the soccer game as the number one sport in the world?
They never will because the football, American football is just not, number one, it's not popularized enough. It's not accessible enough. You need 22 guys. You need pads. You need everything. It's too much you need. But to the point of the Copa America, you know, that's traditional. I think USA is more entering the scene more so than the, you know, whether it's Copa America or FIFA or European. I think that the USA has really tried to kind of dip their toes into that market. And USA is the money for it because we know how popularized sports are there. I think it's a little different because the United States of America probably is the most lucrative and the largest market for sports in the world via a country. If the NFL were to move internationally, it would be moving out of that market into a smaller one. Moving into South America is not a bigger market financially of sports comparatively. There might be more people, but it's not a larger market for money. When the FIFA or Messi comes to Inter Miami or Copa America is coming to play in Miami, that's entering a market where there is the most money. I think that's probably where the interest is. I don't know how the NFL is going to play this because, of course, if they were to go international for a Super Bowl, now all of a sudden you got to talk about giving a franchise to one of those cities as well. And logistically, it's just too impossible to get a city internationally to host an NFL franchise. How are you going to get guys to sign there? I mean, maybe tax purposes. Logistically, it's too much. It's too much. But where is the ending point for the NFL in terms of their over-aggressive international expansion? You can check out the article online. It's on ABC News. It's on ESPN as well. Roger Goodell said that they want to eventually move to an 18-2 structure, looking at markets in Asia, looking at Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Looking internationally, perhaps, it's a possibility, quote, for an international market to host a Super Bowl. That was Kate Chums and Colin Russo here on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Of course, Jacksonville in London today. They love their London games. They're playing the next two in London. Playing the Bears this week. Now, Jacksonville is a different team in London, and they're 1-4. Probably should be 2-3, and I'm a Jaguar fan, so my bias will show. The Jaguars are in a position here against two rookie quarterbacks because now Drake May is going under center for New England Patriots against the Houston Texans. We'll get into that a little later. But now, all of a sudden, Jacksonville's has a chance here to, it's a second home, I hate to admit it, and see if they can, you know, establish some momentum. But I think the story of sports is what's going on in New York. New York, a city that has been plagued with inadequate sports teams, inadequate sports success, whether it be the Jets, the Mets, Yankees, perennial, you know, losers. The Giants, Rangers here and there are pretty solid, but the Knicks haven't done anything in 30 years. All of a sudden, the Mets and the Yankees are now in their respective championship series in the AL and the NL. Are the Giants and the Jets going to follow suit? There's something in the air in New York, and that city is buzzing for sports, and is it contagious? Giants played great last week against Seattle. Of course, the Jets dropped an absolute stinker against the Minnesota Vikings in London last week. But they both made changes. I think the Giants are now coming back home. Still a couple of injuries, but they play hard for Dable. The Jets, on the other hand, fired Robert Saleh, changing play callers. They have Aaron Rodgers. Monday Night Football tomorrow. Can the New York teams turn it around? Can one of them? Can both of them? Or neither of them? We'll get into that next. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. Stick around at ESPN 106.3.
Double drag goes halfback balloon dummy spot call hard three.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet. And it's ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Kate Chumslin, of course, taking you up until 9:15. The international slate continues this week with Jacksonville taking on the Bears. That'll be at 9:30. That's at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium over in London. That'll be on NFL Network, 9:30. And Bears sitting at 3-2, Jaguars at 1-4. See if they could turn it around. Changing gears, changing sports for a second. Fans, get ready for the ultimate NASCAR weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway. The Craftsman Truck Series playoffs and NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs doubleheader are races you won't want to miss. We have tickets for you to claim right here. All you got to do is listen in on the show, follow along on social media at ESPN West Palm, and pay attention to when we are doing live ticket giveaways. We're going to be doing a couple this week with our NASCAR or the movie Cars trivia game. NASCAR or the movie Cars? You got to decide which of the quote, where is it from? If you would like to purchase tickets, go to homesteadmiamispeedway.com. So stay tuned for that. I think, theoretically speaking, we'll do a little bit of that this week. And also on socials at ESPN West Palm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we'll be doing some giveaways for that event. If you're a NASCAR fan, stay tuned for that this week. Should be a fun one. I believe that's coming up in about 2 weeks over at the Homestead Miami Speedway. New York. I like the title you put. New York, New York. Here's the thing about them. When, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not a New York fan. Disclaimer number one. The Mets and the Yankees have a chance here to make some noise. Now, the Giants and the Jets are teams that have not seen much success in better part of 15 years. Can that turn around? Can either of that turn around? Of course, the Giants are coming off a very, very impressive win at Seattle against a pretty solid Seattle Seahawks team. They've won two of their last three, and they lost to, of course, the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football before that, but a game in which they were fairly competitive. And, of course, week two, they played the Commanders tough in Washington, lost that one 21-18. Other than the lost first game of the season against the Minnesota Vikings, where Minnesota kind of blitzed everybody, and they're still undefeated, Giants are sitting at 2-3 here. I think they're better than what their record shows. People were ready to, you know, send Daniel Jones off to pasture after the first couple weeks of the season. I have a feeling that this team is a little better than what people give them credit for. 2-3, Bengals tonight, Sunday Night Football in New York. Bengals can't stop anybody. Bengals cannot stop a cold. Terrible. They have been awful defensively. But the Giants, they kind of surprise people because they're a little unpredictable. Daniel Jones, admittedly, is a pesky quarterback. If you get the good one, you don't know which Daniel Jones is going to get week by week. But can the Giants turn it around? Or if you want to flip it, can the New York Jets turn it around? Sitting at 2-3 also, but a little more talent. We know how talented that defense is, but they fired head coach Robert Saleh earlier in the week. Jeff Ulbrich is taking over, former defensive coordinator, now the acting interim head coach for the New York Jets. And of course, Nathaniel Hackett, who has been, you know, the root of a lot of problems offensively for them, has been stripped of play calling duties. Can they turn it around? They don't play till tomorrow night, of course, against Buffalo. But if they win that, they're in first place in the AFC East. Cade, can one, both, or neither of these teams turn around their season?
Neither, and I don't even think it's a question. I mean, we're going to have a fun segment right here, but genuinely, neither of these teams have a chance at sniffing the top of their division.
Doesn't need to be the top.
Or even come back into relevancy. If the Jets beat Buffalo this week...
Yeah, but they win, they're in first place.
They're in first place. That will maybe change my mind. But the Jets right now seem so discombobulated, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy who's going to rally his team back together to relevancy. I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think their schedule is going to allow it either. Sure, you've got Buffalo this week. You've got the Steelers next week at Pittsburgh, which is always a tough place to play, and their defense is no joke. You've got New England after that, which should be
a winnable game.
Should be a throwaway game for them. But then you've got Houston, Arizona, Indianapolis, who now looks really good with Joe Flacco, and Seattle as your next four games. And Buffalo is going to keep winning as well. I don't think the Jets are going to have a season that allows them to come back, and I don't think the Giants are either. Bengals, Eagles, Steelers, Commanders are their next four games as well. I don't think the Giants have the division to do it. I don't think the Jets have the personality and the personnel to make it happen as well.
So I agree with the points that maybe the Jets don't have the personality. Is Aaron Rodgers a bad leader? Or does this bad optics kind of invigorate something in that locker room? Or it's something in Aaron Rodgers that maybe brings the team together? Maybe. But maybe that's the optimist side of me talking about that. Maybe it's time to stop putting so much faith into the New York Jets. In terms of that schedule you marked, I know that Bills, Steelers, Texans, that's probably three-ish playoff teams in a row. But at Cardinals, home Colts, home Seattle, after that it's Dolphins, Jags. This is not an impossible schedule.
I already saw them lose against the Broncos. Am I thinking all of those games are just out of the question games?
It's a new head coach. You got to ignite. Something will change. Now, let me flip that question too. Was it too early for them to get rid of Saleh? Because you saw those two terrible games, one in London last week and the Bronco game at MetLife before that, they made a change to their credit. Whether you think it was early or not is another question, but something will be different. You got to admit that. For better or worse, either they're going to be a whole lot worse or a whole lot better. I'd be surprised if you saw a whole lot of the same.
I actually think I am going to see a whole lot of the same. And I think it's going to start Monday night, because it would be a whole lot different if they were going against someone like New England or like Arizona to start. But you're going against a Bills team
who hasn't played well.
Yeah, who's looking for blood right now, because they lost a bad loss against the Houston Texans last week, got bulldozed by the Baltimore Ravens the week before that. And before that, we were considering them the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the schedule that they were blessed with early on. The Cardinals gave them a really tight game. Then they beat up on a Tua Tagovailoa who went down in the second quarter, Dolphin team, and a Jacksonville team who probably played the worst game of any team in the NFL this entire year that game.
But we're not just going to throw away the Buffalo Bills now that they've played a few good teams.
But now we know that context matters, because they haven't beaten the two good teams that they've played the last 2 weeks.
And we also have a New York Jets team that can't get into the end zone to save their lives.
Okay, but the Jets have made a change.
The Jets have made a change, but you're also looking at the Buffalo Bills, who are going to take that change and absolutely throw it in their face. I see a blowout coming Monday night. Will the Jets make a change after that? Will their season maybe turn around after that? That can be discussed, but you're going to see a ridiculous Buffalo Bills team on Monday night.
I think that, you know, I think about the theme here. The Jets will be motivated, because I think it's embarrassing it's reflective on the players that Saleh was pushed out. And I think the players are going to be receptive to that. A lot of bad optics, I agree. But the fact that your head coach was fired 4 or 5 games into the year shows that, I mean, yeah, the coaching let them down. It hasn't been good. But the players let them down in a lot of senses too. And especially with a quarterback like Rodgers, who's had such a storied career, it's a bad look. It's bad optics. Now, will they take that, because we know they have talent, will they take that and respond positively, or take that and respond negatively? And now, I'm not saying they're going to win 12 games, but if they could squeak together a couple of wins here, they don't have that most impossible schedule in the league. We know how much talent they have. You're going to see something different. You're not going to see the set. That is, chalk that in. It's the new play caller and a new head coach. I know that it's improved within internally, but something will change. And is it going to be worse or is it going to be better? I lean on the side of better. I don't know if they'll beat Buffalo, but I think they're going to play well. And I'm curious on how that's going to go. On the New York side of things, New York plays hard for Dable. 2 years removed from the coach of the year, I think people forget that. And Daniel Jones is a short memory quarterback, which I give him credit for. He forgets all the bad things really quickly. To his credit, he will have a bad play here and it'll kind of just exit his mind. He's got a 10-second memory, for better or worse. And he has played impressive enough. I don't even think he played a bad game against Dallas in the game they lost. He played well last week. You don't know what Daniel Jones you're going to get, but he's played well the last couple of weeks here. They got no Malik Nabers once again. It didn't prove to be that problematic last time, because I think they were unpredictable when no Malik Nabers on the field. You don't know where they're going to go. No Devin Singletary once again. So they're down a couple offensive pieces, and I believe Kayvon Thibodeau is now going to be on IR. But for some reason, that Giant team plays hard. I think they'll play well tonight. I'm not sure if they'll beat the Bengals because the Bengals are probably in a little bit of desperation mode. But I think you're gonna see a good game tonight in MetLife as well.
I got to give you credit for last week, man. You called that Giants team taking down the Seattle Seahawks and really playing well and being unpredictable. And that's exactly where they were. They were spreading the ball around. Daniel Jones was playing a clean football game. Special teams came through in the end, obviously, with that blocked field goal. But I'm looking at a track record of a team that can't get the ball in the end zone against whatever defense they come across. They've yet to score more than 22 points on offense this entire year. And we've seen them go against a Cowboys defense that can't block the run, a Browns team that is now the worst in the NFL, a Commanders team that was only in the second game of the year. I just would love to see them put up 4 touchdowns in the game. I don't think that's too much to ask, but when you're going against... Now, the thing is that the Bengals are going to be a prime opportunity to do that because the Bengals want a shootout.
And they have a terrible defense.
Yeah. Yes. But can they outscore the Bengals, who are now one of the hottest offenses in the NFL? Not teams, but when you've put together back-to-back games of plus 30 points and still lose, now you're going against the Giants. That's an opportunity to finally put a W in that column and still have another shootout. Could the Giants get it close? Yes. But the line right now on Hard Rock Bet is only -3.5, and I think the Bengals are going to take care of that.
The way I look at it is I don't think the Giants want nothing to do. To that point, the Giants want nothing to do with a shootout. Nothing.
Absolutely.
They want to slow that game down. They want to have a 7-8 minute possession. They're not going to play into the Bengals' hands unless the Bengals start getting some stops. They're not going to play into the Bengals' hands on that front of things. They need to keep it close. And I think the lower scoring, the more muddied up it gets, the better the Giants' chances are. Can they turn it around? I don't know what the level of turning around that would be satisfactory, because this is not an easy schedule they got coming up. Bengals, Eagles, Steelers, Commanders. That's not an easy schedule. But it's 2 divisional games at home. They usually will get one against the Eagles consistently. And then towards the end of the year is where the schedule kind of loosens up a little bit, but I think the Giants underratedly play hard for Dable. I don't know what a turning around season looks like for them, but flirting a little under 500, I think, could be in the cards for them.
Hypothetically, Colin, let's just say, and I know they're looking sort of on the bright side right now after their win, but let's just say it goes back to not looking great for the Giants and they finish something along the lines of 4-12 or 4-13, 5-12, something along those lines. Who's more likely to go out first, Jones or Dable?
I think that Dable would have a better chance at staying.
Yeah.
Jones is the number one. Jones is, you know, cut list number one. He could probably hang around as a backup or try to get rid of him. But is it a question more so that has Dable attached himself at the hip with the Daniel Jones experiment? Now, it's a matter of how hard they play for. I think they play hard for Dable. I really do. And I know offensively they have a lot of woes and there's a lot of problems there, but you can't. I think that's most reflective of a pretty good head coach, is how hard do they play, how much of a motivator he is. Clearly, he is somewhat of a motivator. They won a playoff game with him fairly recently. So I think there's a matter of, can Brian Dable hang around with and develop a new quarterback and can it work? But also, does ownership view Brian Dable separately from Daniel Jones? Or is this Joe Shane, who signed Daniel Jones to the extension, Daniel Jones, Brian Dable, is that a package deal? Wipe it clean, shave it off, start fresh? I could see that as well. I think it's probably one or all. I don't think it's going to be 2 out of 3 of those 3. Joe Shane, the general manager, Brian Dable, or Daniel Jones. They're not running it back unless they win a bunch of games. But it'll be one or all. And we'll see who that is. Can the Jets turn it around? 888-760-3776. There's something in the air in New York. Is it contagious with the Mets and the Yankees? Think about theme. Think about vibe. Is it contagious? If the Mets keep winning, will the Jets follow suit? If the Yankees keep winning, will the Giants follow suit? Those are the teams that are usually paired amongst New York sports fans. Can they put it together? 888-760-3776. That's the number to call into the show if you're feeling talkative on a Sunday morning and your Sunday drive before a full slate of NFL football. Got something new coming up next. Cade's going to help us out with Stat of Mind. We'll get into that a little bit more next. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Philly 88, Dice right, 52, Orlando right, HD.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
With week six on its way, full slate of Sunday night football coming in, starting with an international game between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears coming up at 9:30 on NFL Network. It's Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Colin Russo, Cade Chums, and of course, behind the glass at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on ESPN 106.3. You see, in the first few weeks of football season, it was a terrific slate of college football yesterday. Bunch of ranked teams going down to the wire. Ohio State, a questionable finish. Will Howard making strange decisions. Colorado almost came back against Kansas State. Tennessee almost dropped one against Florida. Texas throttling Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry. Whole lot happened yesterday. Army dominates UAB. But with future slates up ahead, you could go bet them on Hard Rock Bet. You could bet on the touchdown scores each game, passing yards, other stats, total points, who will win, and so much more on Hard Rock Bet. Last year, you couldn't really bet on football until week 14, but now throughout the entire season, you could get involved now on Hard Rock Bet. It's Florida's only legal sports book. If you don't want to bet on a ton of money, try a parlay. You could string a bunch together, get better odds out of it. In week one of the NFL season, a guy went 16 for 16, turned 15 dollars into over $100,000 over on Hard Rock Bet. You could do the same. There's so many different types of parlays on Hard Rock Bet. There's also the trendy ones on the Discover page. You could get involved very easily. It's got the sophistication for the experienced player, but the simplicity on the top of that for the new player. That's what Hard Rock Bet has to offer. You could get involved today. If you're not sure what to bet, they show you all the trendy picks over on the Discover page. It's all just a few taps away. Get started today. All you got to do is download Hard Rock Bet in the App Store or Google Play Store. Go online to hardrock.bet. Try Hard Rock Bet today. Get up to $100 back in bonus bets. If your first bet does not win, you can bet. That bet could be a parlay, prop, over, whatever you like to bet, any games you choose. You either win your first bet or get the same amount back you bet as a bonus bet. Try Hard Rock Bet today. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMINUTE. Now, Cade, you liked one on the Discover page that really intrigued you in terms of value, in terms of the actual parlay itself. What was that pick?
We got a plus 3,900 four-bet parlay right on the homepage of Hard Rock Bet. We got four wide receivers, anytime touchdowns. We got Terry McLaurin, Marvin Harrison Jr., Mike Evans, and A.J. Brown. Now, not only are these four guys their quarterback's favorite targets, but they're also going against matchups where I expect their quarterbacks to be finding them early and often. Terry McLaurin, Washington, going against Baltimore. I expect a shootout in that game. Expect Jayden Daniels to find McLaurin there. Marvin Harrison Jr., Arizona Cardinals going against Green Bay. Green Bay is going to run up that score too. Kyler Murray is going to need to find his man in the end zone. And then both Mike Evans and A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown back in the lineup for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, after that lingering hamstring.
Absolutely.
Injury.
And we know their offense has been completely different. Once he's in play, they'll utilize him once again. And then Mike Evans is Baker Mayfield's favorite target
all
in Tampa.
Reliable, too.
Absolutely. All reliable. Them against New Orleans, great rivalry. They're going to want to put up some points with Spencer Rattler, rookie, at the helm. I like those four wide receivers there. 3,900 four-bet parlay right on the homepage of Hard Rock Bet.
$10 bet to pay over $400 in winnings. That's a pretty, in terms of value, I completely agree. I like that too. Now, I think the tough one is probably McLaurin.
Yep.
Can Daniels get the ball to McLaurin early and often? Because a lot of people are under the impression that Baltimore is going to come out and blitz Washington in the figurative sense, and they're just going to come right after them, and Washington will not have any... Maybe it's time for them to come back down to reality a little bit. I think Washington will be relatively competitive in the game. Do I think they're going to win? Probably not. But that's a interesting bet. Go try it on a Hard Rock bet. Now, Cade, we usually get 3 to 4 different picks a week. Our intriguing matchup of the week, our statement watch of the week, who is in the best position to make a statement, who's the upset watch of the week. And lastly, this week, we're going to include who's on fraud watch this week. Let's start with our intriguing matchup of the week. Cade, take us away.
My intriguing matchup of the week has to be one that we just talked about. It's going to be Tampa-New Orleans. We've got a rookie quarterback in Spencer Rattler coming in for the injured Derek Carr in a brutal game. Now, it's at home, thankfully, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers always play dirty. I mean, we've been seeing it all week, the highlights. I don't know if you have the Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore highlights about how they get into a fight.
Yeah, every time.
Every single time, right? That's the environment Spencer Rattler is going to have to deal with. And even though Tampa lost that game 10 days ago against the Atlanta Falcons, man, that front seven was all over Kirk Cousins. You know they're going to be wanting to, as you said with Baltimore, they're going to be blitzing Spencer Rattler over there in Tampa. How is he going to handle that pressure? And how is Tampa going to bounce back after a tough loss? I think any matchup between the Falcons, Buccaneers, and Saints all year long might be my intriguing matchup. They're going to be down to the wire until the end of the season when it comes to the NFC South Championship.
You know what mine is for intriguing matchup of the week? That Bronco-Charger game.
Mm.
Chargers, a little more healthy, coming off a bye here. Of course, Jim Harbaugh under the taking the reins of that head coaching position. They had a pretty successful four-game stretch, all things considered. Probably should have beat the Chiefs in that stretch as well. Sitting at 2-2, but the Broncos have been a surprise this year with Sean Payton and Bo Nix sitting at 3-2. Playing well. Pesky defense. They win ugly. They're more than happy to muddy up the game. That's sort of their game plan. But coming off a bye, a divisional matchup in which Denver is at home, is Denver in position really to go 4-2? Who would have predicted that? I think Denver is underrated. They can now sniff a playoff berth in some capacity. The AFC is wide open other than a handful of teams. Watch Denver make some noise here. This is my intriguing matchup of the week. We'll see how the Chargers come out after the bye. But on top of that, this is going to be a muddied up game once again. This game's got 15, 14 written all over it. This game is going to be ugly. And that plays right into the hands of Bo Nix and Sean Payton and that great Denver defense. That's my intriguing matchup of the week. The statement matchup of the week. Who's best positioned for you, Cade, to make a statement this week?
It has got to be my Houston Texans. It has got to be the Houston Texans.
They're 4-1.
They're 4-1 with a minus 12 point differential. The Tennessee Titans are better than that.
Cade, they're playing a rookie quarterback.
Exactly. We haven't beaten a team. I'm sorry. The fan in me is coming out. The Texans have not beaten a team by more than 6 points. We cannot pull out a lead. We can't keep a lead either.
You want a 30-point victory.
That has to be. Yes. If there is a game where the Texans just come out and punch the opponent in the mouth, it's got to be a rookie quarterback with the worst
making
offensive
his debut.
Line.
Yeah.
This has to be 34-10 minimum. 24-point victory minimum. The Texans have not had a 30-point game all year long.
You're just trying to even out that differential. It's just a bad... You just don't like looking at it when you see the standings.
I want confidence that this team knows how to win football games and be dominant at it. They have survived their way to victories right now. Joe Fortenbaugh on Carlin versus Joe was saying it all week. The Texans are not as good as we think they are. And I agree with him. I don't think the Texans are that good. But they can change my mind if they can absolutely destroy a team like the New England Patriots this week. They've got to make a statement by beating up on the teams that they should beat up on. That Bears game, I lost my mind. You have 7 sacks on a rookie quarterback and only can put up 16 points of offense? That was ridiculous. This needs to be a massive game for the Texans.
They're not a great 4-1. I agree with that.
No, they're not.
You're completely right. A statement against Drake May in his debut, I understand. You want to see them dominate. You haven't seen them dominate in any way, shape, or form so far this year. That's the philosophy behind this pick.
They had to make a goal line touchdown to come back over the Jacksonville Jaguars, the winless Jacksonville Jaguars. That gives me no confidence at all with a victory. This needs to be huge.
Speaking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, my statement, game of the week. Watch it be Jacksonville. I alluded to it earlier. People wrote them off, rightfully so. I myself included. I'm a Jaguar fan. I'm not saying this team's going to come out and run the table, but they're good in London. They got two straight. They got the Patriots next week. They have two straight rookie quarterbacks. Those London games are a crapshoot. You have no idea how a team is going to show up after the long travel day. They go a couple days early. They're out of routine in a lot of senses. Now, the Bears have a great defense. That defense can travel, but a lot of their success lies on what that offense can do. Can Caleb Williams keep this momentum churning? Or is this London game going to catch up to them? Because the Jacksonville, for some reason, is a different animal when it comes to London. Are they going to keep that up? I think Jacksonville will be that statement game of the week. Watch them win. And all of a sudden, they're 2-4 against the Patriots next week. That could be. They could get out of that 3-4. All of a sudden, you're in the mix. Jacksonville, my statement game of the week. Your upset watch of the week. Cade, there's been an upset every week, it seems like. Who is that team for you?
You already mentioned it as your intriguing matchup. I've got Denver +3 over the Los Angeles Chargers, and I think they win outright. I think everything you said about the Broncos winning 3 in a row, they've got a system going between their quarterback, Bo Nix, and Sean Payton. Their defense has been stifling so far. I like how this matchup pairs against a beaten-up Los Angeles Chargers. I do think the Broncos go 4-2. They finally have got the offense now. They put up 34 points against the Raiders last week. Now, I know it's the Raiders, but you put up 34 points against anybody, and I think that is something to be said. I think this offense is going to take advantage at home against the Chargers. Give me the Broncos +3.
So I was stuck between two games for this. Now, I think Arizona's going to play well at Lambeau today. I do. Arizona's sitting at 2-3. They don't necessarily want to fall behind in that division race. But you could also say the same for the Green Bay Packers. You don't want to fall behind the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. I have a weird inkling that Arizona's going to come in and play really hard today because you don't know what Arizona team you're going to get week by week. But watch them play hard today. But I don't know if that's going to be the game I go upset watch for. The New York Giants. Watch them play hard again. Start drinking the Daniel Jones Kool-Aid. I'm not saying they should, you know, soak in that contract, but they've played hard and they've played well. And when they don't have neighbors on the field and no Devin Singletary, Tyrone Tracy's the rookie running back that played great last week, you don't know where they're going to go. Watch them play really, really well. Watch them take care of business on Sunday Night Football. New York Giants upset watch. How about that?
I'm clipping that right now. That has to be one of the wildest takes I've ever heard in my life.
Cincinnati's won one game.
Give me a break. You just said drink the Daniel Jones Kool-Aid?
Watch.
After one game where his special teams bailed him out?
Oh, no. He's played well.
Sorta. He's 22nd right now in QBR, and he's only thrown 6 touchdowns to 3 interceptions.
Yeah, but the last, I think it was the last 3 or 4 games, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. Think about this. Cincinnati is 1-4. They've allowed 145 points.
Watch, and they put up 140.
Watch Daniel Jones play really, really well. Give me the Giants. Offense is not, they're not going to score 45 points every week. Watch the Giants play well. That's my upset watch of the week. Now, Cade, you came to me earlier in the show, and you said you had an interesting fraud watch this week. I don't know where you're going with this, but who is on fraud watch for you?
Theoretically speaking, what a bunch of phonies on that show.
Oh, I completely agree.
Dude.
Don't get me started.
See, I don't have an opportunity to give a live reaction. I listen to both of your guys' show every day throughout the week, theoretically speaking, from 2 to 4, Russo and Rizzo from 4 to 6. Both of you guys' shows are fantastic.
What pissed you off about what they do?
But for them to come out for a punchline pick as an over-under.
As their lock, too.
And as their lock.
Do you agree with that? So for those who don't know, the punchline picks is when Russo and Rizzo, and theoretically speaking, go head-to-head on picking games against the spread. 6 each, 1 is a lock worth double. Could be college in the NFL. And throughout the entire season, it has been a game spread, picking a team against the spread. Out of the, 5 weeks, six apiece, 30 picks, 30 for 30 so far, has been game spreads. All of a sudden, this week, out of nowhere, theoretically speaking, go that Buffalo Jet game over 40.5 as their lock. Mike and I, Mike Rizzo, my partner on Russo and Rizzo, had a problem with that. We got shut down by ownership and by the brass. But apparently, this was fair game. When there was no rule set that this could possibly be a pick, but go right ahead. That just to apply some context.
Let's go back and let's actually listen to what they said. I got September 4th tape right here. This was the day before the first set of punchline picks. This is during the crossover where Colin Russo is on Theoretically Speaking. Wow. This is how Theo Dorsey of Theoretically Speaking opens the segment.
All hell is about to break loose here at ESPN West Palm when we get these show wars going. We start picking against the spread between Theoretically Speaking and Russo and Rizzo.
That's clear and obvious to me. That is picks against the spread. There was no communication beforehand that they were going to go an over-under. There was no communication saying you could go over-under. And the fact that C-Cat's now going to say, I made the rules, we're going to make this happen. He clearly didn't say that to Theo Dorsey. And Theo's been in Houston all week, so he couldn't say anything about this either. Russo, I feel for you. I think this is absolute baloney.
I knew it came up. Thank God you pulled that audio. You're very good at that. I knew it. I knew that that was a problem.
He said it again, that same segment. I could go to a second one if I wanted to. Theo Dorsey, I love you, man, but you need to keep your producer in check because that's absolutely ridiculous, and I think this pick should be completely frauded.
Yeah, I agree. I would void it too, but we were superseded by brass. You know what? Christian Cat, their producer, you know what his argument was? It's called punchline picks, not like super spread.
Oh, he made it very clear. So
who cares about the name?
Listen to the whole thing. C-Cat never says against the spread. It's only Theo who says it. So C-Cat's right now saying, hey, I never said against the spread. Your partner did. You guys are supposed to be a team.
Wow. Phonies. It's got to be against the, it got to be against the spread. Thank you for pulling that. So that's your fraud watch?
That's my fraud watch.
I like that.
Theo Dorsey, C-Cat, you're on my fraud watch.
They've been
for this
on my
week.
Fraud watch ever since I started here. I'll tell you.
Dude, I've wanted. So for those who don't know, Theo Dorsey got me this job back in February of 2023 as an intern. He personally sent me the application leak. Theo has been my boy for so long. But when I heard that on Friday, out of nowhere, come up, and it wasn't during Theoretically Speaking, it was during Russo and Rizzo that he pulls that out of nowhere. Man, I wanted to lose it.
I agree. It's so phony. You're preaching to the choir. And I know they were talking about the VIG being minus 110 and that should be the baseline. There's an argument to be made there. But the fact that there wasn't a precedent set or a principle that was even brought up between the both of us, I have a problem with that. On our punchline picks, speaking of picks, we'll blitz the book next. We'll get into each and every game spread. We'll take teams against the spread. Who do we got? We're blitzing the book next. Stick around and close out the program. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Huddle up.
66 Hitchhikes Vegas Flair. I'm one ready.
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby. Boom.
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
International slate making this Sunday huddle a little earlier today. 9:30 kick between Jacksonville and the Chicago Bears on NFL Network at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. Kate Chubbs and Colin Russo. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Let's blitz the book. So over Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. What we're going to do is we're going to go pick every team, every game against the spread today in the Sunday slate. Let's start with the first game of the day, Cade. Let's go to that Jacksonville-Chicago Bear game on Hard Rock Bet. Jacksonville's a 1-point favorite. I'm not surprised. A 1-point favorite in this one in London. Cade, what say you?
Love it. Give me Jacksonville.
I think. You agree with this?
It's yes. Like,
yeah.
No, I think that should be a great one for Jacksonville. I love how their offense was able to come back. Brian Thomas Jr., man, another huge game coming for him today.
Yeah, he's been kind of been like, you know, in the shadows a little bit because of how good the rookie receivers have been, but he has been a rock star pick so far. I agree with this, and this is not just the fan of me talking. I want Peterson out, but they're for some reason good in London, and I think they're going to take advantage of a rookie quarterback going overseas for the first time. Arizona, Green Bay. Green Bay at home, -5.5-point favorites. The large spread. I think Arizona plays well today. I would take them 5.5. What do you say?
I'm going to agree. I like how Arizona came back against the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco. Another tough place
team.
To play.
It's a pesky team.
Another tough place to play in Lambeau Field. And I didn't like how Green Bay almost let the Rams come back in last week. I like Arizona in this one, too.
Yep. I agree with this. Now, here's an interesting one. Philadelphia, Cleveland. Eagles, of course, an 8.5-point favorite. Cleveland's one of the worst teams in the NFL. But on top of that, there's like a crazy, I don't have the number on me. Team 6.5 plus, or plus over 6.5 points as underdogs usually are good against the spread this year specifically. What do you say, 8.5-point spread for Philadelphia?
The Eagles are a completely different team when A.J. Brown is on the field. He's back. Give me the Eagles -8.5. I think they come out big.
I would agree with this. New England at home getting 6.5 points against the Texans. This is a big home dog, but you want the Texans to win in a big way.
They need to win absolutely huge today, and I think they're going to do it against a rookie quarterback. Expect another 6-plus sacks to come from that front seven for the Texans.
I don't love taking 2 6-plus point favorites back-to-back like that, but theoretically speaking, for punchline picks, took the Patriots. I'm going with Houston on you on that one. Indianapolis, Tennessee. Tennessee at home, of course, coming off their bye. They're -2.5. Anthony Richardson back in the lineup, I believe, for the Colts today. -2.5 at home against the Colts today. Cade, what do you got?
Jonathan Taylor out again for the Colts, but I'm riding with the Joe Flacco magic. I know they lost last week against the Jaguars, but I think this is a different team.
Isn't Anthony Richardson playing today? I believe he is.
Oh.
So that changes things.
That one I didn't see.
I'll double check right now, but I believe he is playing today.
All right, I'm still taking the Colts in this one. I think they've got a lot to ride on from last week's close loss. I'll take them +2.5.
Yeah, the plans is for him to play today.
Oof.
I don't like that.
That's so sad that we don't
like
think
it.
That's going to be as good as
I don't like
Flacco.
It. I don't like it. But I think I took Tennessee's under. I'm taking Indianapolis here. I don't like that with – I think Richardson is just a mistake waiting to happen. He just turns the ball over too much.
They're playing Anthony Richardson, Will Levis.
Woo! Yeah. Give me Indianapolis +2.5 at Tennessee today. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. New Orleans home dogs +3.5. Coming off a short week, banged up with Spencer Rattler, a quarterback. I think Tampa Bay's an easy one here. Cade, what do you got?
Absolutely. -3.5. Playing for the city of Tampa after Hurricane
Milton. You buy that too? Mike Rizzo was in on that too. You think they're going to play for the Hurricane?
Yes. I have other thoughts about Hurricane Milton that I can explain to you later, but I do think they're going to want to play for everyone in Tampa.
Okay. I don't know how much of a theme that will be, but they've been in New Orleans for a couple days now, and they've had a long week. So because of that, I think they're going to play well today. Baltimore -6.5, home against the Commanders. Commanders are 4-1, and they're +6.5. I think if there's a team to take the +6.5, the plus over 6 points against the spread and go with the trend, it's this Washington team. I would take the Commanders here. What do you got?
I'm going to take the Commanders as well, but I'm not going to take them to win outright. I think this is going to be about a four-point difference.
I think
Baltimore
it'll be a close
wins.
Game.
Baltimore wins. Washington covers.
Denver. I think we both know how we feel about this. Denver at home. Getting
give us
3 points. This is free money.
Let's make it happen.
This is free money. I'm in on Denver. Give me the Bo Nix. I'm on the train. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Denver against the Chargers, +3 at home. Chargers, of course, coming off a bye, but Denver sitting at 3-2. Pesky defense. That game's got 15, 13, 11-9 written all over it, whatever that Denver can conjure up. The Vegas, another home dog, +3 at home against Pittsburgh. Who do you got there?
This is so ugly. I don't like either of these offenses. I'll take Pittsburgh just because I trust their defense.
I think Pittsburgh's got to turn it around eventually. I think this is probably the game for it to happen. I would agree with this. So, I don't love the -3. I would have loved the -2.5, but I'll take Pittsburgh with you on that sense. Atlanta at Carolina. Atlanta, again, a long week here. Carolina, a terrible loss against the Bears last week, getting 5.5 at home. What do you got there?
I'll take Atlanta, but this was just -6 yesterday and a few days ago. I don't know exactly what's making the line creep closer to Carolina, but I'm going to take a safe play at Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's played in a close game basically every game this year. but I think they're taking steps forward. It's a team that I think the longer they get into the season, the better they'll get because of Cousins' health and the whole bit. So give me Atlanta with you on that one. Last two here on the Sunday slate, Dallas home against Detroit, getting 3 points at home.
I'll take Detroit.
This has a pusher written on it, in my opinion. This has a three-point victory, but I would take Detroit as well.
Yeah, I think off the bye, they're going to do very well. Dallas hasn't won at home all year.
And that's a theme. They need to win one for the home city. They were good at home last year. But I agree with you, Detroit. I think they're a different animal when everything's clicking. You know how I feel about the Giants. +3.5 against the Cincinnati Bengals today at home on Sunday Night Football. What do you got?
I'm seeing 34-28 all over it. I think Daniel Jones gets it clicking a little bit more on offense, but the Bengals have put three straight games of plus 30 points together against, I believe, the Commanders, the Panthers, and the Ravens. I think they'll do it again against the Giants. I'll take
you're taking Cincinnati
Bengals,
there?
Yeah, plus three and a half. -3.5.
Wow. I'll take it the Giants there. That was Blitz the Book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Those were our picks for the Sunday slate. That's it. It's a couple interesting ones, a couple big lines, and a lot of home dogs. So we'll see if anybody can make anything happen today. Hopefully Jacksonville can get on back on pace. I think it's good for sports when New York teams are relatively in the mix. Of course, the Mets play tonight against the Dodgers, so I'll be all over that. We'll see if the Giants and or the Jets can follow suit. It was this Sunday edition of Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Big thanks to Kate Chumsett for helping us out in the ones and twos behind the glass. We're going to be back at it next week. Another London game. So back same time, 8 to 9:15 once again. This time next week, previewing the Jacksonville Jaguar game and the New England Patriots. Enjoy your NFL Sunday. Stay safe. Have some food. Go enjoy yourself. Do your thing. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back at it next week. We'll be back at it over the week. It's been Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.